To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How about it? New week, Monday, October 13, 2025 is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
How was your weekend?
Great.
All good?
Weekend. Great weekend. Got to spend a beautiful Sunday at the Memphis Botanic Gardens.
Nice. Nice. What was going on? Just walking around?
We were celebrating my brother's birthday.
Okay. Okay. Did you have like a picnic out there? What'd you do?
No, we just went on the tour.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Fought off some geese.
I've never done it. Should I do it?
Yes. You should absolutely take Myers.
Take Myers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It's awesome.
I hear you. I will do that. It's right around the corner from my house.
Yeah. It's right down the street.
I could walk there, to be honest with you. So there is that. Now, I had a funny morning. Went over to Kroger, and I was getting some stuff. My mom is coming in. She's not coming in to visit me or my wife. She's here to visit Myers. So she'll be here till Saturday. So I had to pick up some things for her, some water, some ginger ales, like all the necessities, everything she needs. So I go in, pick up all the stuff. I'm coming out with my cart, and there's some kids out front or some guys out front running game. You know what I'm talking about. They're selling candy bars. Oh, my 9U football team. And I'm like, you're not a day under 20, brother. You're not on a 9U football team. But either way, he tries to walk up to me, and I'm dismissive of people that do that at this point. I don't think it's a particularly good game to run. You know what I mean? Like, it's very see-through. I know what you're doing. You're just trying to, listen, you just say you're selling candy bars. Don't try to, you know, pry at my heartstrings with like a 9U football team or whatever the hell it is. And by the way, it's football season. It's the middle of football season. Why are you raising money now? Don't you do that at the beginning of the season? Either way, he walks up to me, sir, you want some candy bar? I'm raising money for my football team. And I barely even looked at him. I'm like, no, thank you. And as I take like four more steps off, he goes, yeah, that's probably a good choice. So I turn around. It wasn't like a menacing way, like a mean way. It was defeated. Like, he dropped his head. Yeah, that's probably a good choice. So I turn around. I start laughing, conversating with the kid. And he's like, yeah, we still have these candy. You want to buy a candy bar? I was like, no, I don't want to buy a candy bar. But I ended up giving him a 5 for making me laugh the way he did. Yeah, that's probably a good choice. At least you're sort of admitting without admitting that you're trying to run game on folks.
Yeah.
Outside the Kroger.
I just never have any cash on me. Never have cash on me. Can't help people out. I wish I could. I'll give you stuff. Like, just the other day,
if I have it.
I was heading down to Crosstown. I saw a guy on the corner. I was like, don't have any money, but I have water. So I gave him a couple waters. Like, that's the best I can do sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be giving you no credit card information or debit card information. I'm not. Nah, I got a Square. Nuh-uh.
Everybody's got Apple Pay these days,
yeah,
man.
No, sir.
Yeah. But that really made me chuckle.
Yeah, was it IM12?
Yeah.
IM12.
IM12. Yeah, that's probably a good choice. Okay. Here's a 5, man. He wasn't making a bunch of sales midday or late morning at the Kroger. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We have plenty to get to on today's show. 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join the show from CBS Sports. We have a lot to talk about because there's much chaos Bunch of chaos this weekend. We had number 3, number 6, number 14, number 15, number 17, number 22, number 25 in the AP poll lose. All of those teams lost this weekend. So there's a lot to talk about. And on top of all those teams losing, we've had some firings. We've had some firings around the country. We'll talk about Trent Dilfer later as we get into the blitz at UAB. Tigers take on UAB this weekend. So Alex Mortensen, Chris Mortensen, the late Chris Mortensen, ESPN analyst and all that, his son, takes over as the interim at UAB. But there was a bigger firing than that, Connor. At Penn State, after losing at home to Northwestern 22-21 in just the worst possible fashion into the game, he had an injury to a hopeful for the NFL draft and Drew Aller. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but he goes down with a season-ending injury. That was brutal, too. But James Franklin is on the unemployment line. Now, he's $49 million richer. I still stand by the fact that the best job in the world is being a fired Division I head football coach. But James Franklin is unemployed and on the open market, and this coaching carousel is going to be absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. So we'll talk about that. Coming up at 6 o'clock, Harold Grader will join the show, Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. 5:30, we have a trip around the National Football League, and we have a firing there, Tennessee Titans coach Brian Callahan. Probably, what, 6 games too late? Probably should have just done it in the offseason because he was terrible year one. But he had the number 1 overall pick. There was redeeming quality this year for him. They felt like he could develop Cam Ward because he supposedly developed Joe Burrow. But we saw that that wasn't going to happen this year.
The moment he didn't know the rules, he should have been fired.
100%.
On the podium. Somebody should have walked into the room and said, hey, fire.
No, it's pretty interesting, and I have not. Maybe something happened in the last 5 minutes since we got on air. But they have not named an interim, the Titans. So I don't even know who's going to be coaching.
They're calling Vrabel and playing love songs into the phone.
Speaking of which, they play Vrabel this weekend. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers how badly they have mismanaged their situation every step of the way since they fired John Robinson and then ultimately fired Mike Vrabel not too long after that. But trip around the NFL at 5:30, blitz at 6:30. All right, this weekend in college football was chaotic. Like I said, number 3, Oregon loses. Number 6, Oklahoma loses, and it wasn't even particularly close. John Mateer made his return, and that was just ugly. Number 14, Mizzou loses, although I give credit to Mizzou. They stuck in there 27-24 against one of the hottest teams in the country in Alabama. Number 15, Michigan lost to USC. Number 17, Illinois lost to Ohio State. Number 22, Iowa State went into Colorado, into Boulder, and lost. And I still will say one of the most disgusting field rushes by the Colorado fans I've ever seen. Number 22, Iowa State. We don't rush the field after Iowa State, guys. Come on. Like, use it on a bigger and better program. But they still rush the field. And then Florida State, number 25, ends up losing. But I want to start with Penn State. Penn State has lost another game. Lost to Northwestern. A team that, quite frankly, when you just look at the rosters, has no business being on the same field as them. Lost 22-21. James Franklin became, this weekend, the first head coach in the last 30 years to lose consecutive games. Last week against UCLA, this week against Northwestern. As at least a 20-point favorite. Now, in response to all of this, Penn State has made the decision to fire James Franklin. He's out of a job at Penn State. And this year, there was so much promise. This was a team coming off the college football playoff semifinal last year. They lose by 3 in the semis. We're right there on the precipice of getting into a national title and competing, having an appearance. This year, you bring back Drew Aller at quarterback. You bring back both your running backs, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. Bring back some guys on the defensive side of the ball. Deny Dennis Sutton, phenomenal. Troy Rojas, great. You felt good about what this team had and what they could do in the Big Ten with all the continuity that they were able to keep from last year. But that's completely out the window. I don't know why. also brought in a really good defensive coordinator that you paid $3 million to per year in Jim Knowles, who won a national title last year at Ohio State. That's worth mentioning. I don't know what's gone wrong with this team. I don't know what happened within that locker room. I don't know why they struggled against two teams in back-to-back weeks and lost to teams that don't have a roster or don't have the money that Penn State does. But ultimately, I do want to say this about James Franklin. I thought it was a pretty good run at Penn State. 12 seasons, 104-45, final record, 5 AP top 10 finishes, 7 AP top 20 finishes, 6 10-win seasons. He was a Big Ten champ in 2016. 2024, college football playoff semifinal, won the Fiesta Bowl twice, won the Cotton Bowl once, and won the Rose Bowl in 2022. And Franklin also had Penn State ranked in the AP top 10 at some point in 10 consecutive seasons, dating back to 2016. So, yeah, this season was a complete flop and disappointment. I realize it's not over, but for what they wanted to accomplish, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
They're not making the college football playoff. Drew Aller is now hurt. Season-ending injury. Don't know what's going to happen with him going to the future. He's going to be a very interesting guy to watch as we get to the NFL draft next year. But, you know, if you just remove the beginning of this season, James Franklin's done a heck of a job. Now, ultimately, what it has come down to, it's not just these past three games. It's not just, not being able to cut the mustard last year in the college football playoff as he got to the semifinals. What it came down to is 4-21 against AP top 10 opponents, 1-18 against top 10 Big Ten teams in conference games, and a 160 winning percentage against AP top 10 teams. That's the third worst record by a coach with a minimum of 25 games at a single school since the poll era began in 1936. They just couldn't win big games, and I think for the most part in James Franklin tenure, they beat up on the middle to lower tier teams of the Big Ten. And if you're the AD and you see this, now losing to those middle and bottom tier teams in the Big Ten, you just have to move on. It had clearly soured. It was clearly going left. His last, visit there in Beaver Stadium, final walkout was him getting absolutely booed, positively booed by the entire crowd at Penn State. Tough way to go out, but I will say, I think that there was a lot of positive that James Franklin brought to that program when he took over in 2014 amid all of the just complete and utter chaos and nastiness that was happening. Jerry Sandusky, Joe Paterno out. It was a time where they needed some leadership to carry them in the right direction. And I thought James Franklin did that for the most part. But after 12 seasons, not getting the results, not being in a national championship game, not being where they ultimately wanted you to be or you need to be at a place like Penn State, it was time. And I don't disagree with what Penn State did, but it is a tough scene for that Penn State program. You look at all the former players he had and the players on the roster. Not happy with this. Very frustrated by it. Micah Parsons on social media coming to his defense in a big way. Cursing, really, the athletic department that made this decision to fire James Franklin amid his worst season in a long, long while. So he's done, and now they're going to have to look for answers from the outside.
I have two questions for you. One, do you agree with the firing?
I think yes.
Yes. Okay.
I think it was time.
Two, when a coach just simply cannot win a big game, it was the same thing at Vanderbilt. It's the same thing at Penn State. What is it? Is it just an insane amount of bad luck? Is it the preparation that they're doing? Can the team sense that the coach is nervous because he hasn't gotten a big game, so that makes the team play tight? Does it change the way he's calling plays? Just how is it that a coach for 12 years
can't win a big
game? Just can't win a big game. It's It's perplexing.
Can we be honest? His two biggest wins, quite frankly, when I look back at his career at large, are probably last year in the college football playoff. But it was Boise State and SMU, two of the weakest teams in that field. And those aren't things that you can't hang your hat
no.
on those
Every
wins.
Every time they were in a big game,
I think,
knew they were going to lose.
I think eventually the Ohio States, the Michigans, the good teams, in your the Oregons, they're new, but still, I think they just get in your head. And you play conservative. I mean, let's not forget last year at one point in the Ohio State game, they're up 10-0 after a pick six. At that point, you play conservative. You play not to lose. You don't necessarily play to win. I saw that pretty consistently from James Franklin coach teams. And I got to be honest, I thought when he hired Andy Kotelnicki from Kansas, his OC that he brought in last offseason, I thought that they would open it up, let Drew Aller cook a little bit, sling it around the yard a little bit more, get more inventive. But they got inventive in the wrong ways. Last year in the college football playoff, how many times did you see Tyler Warren in the Wildcat? You know what I mean? They got inventive in the wrong ways and still ran that conservative style, wanted to run the ball pretty consistently, got stuffed a lot. It felt like no matter who was the offensive coordinator there at Penn State, James Franklin always had his hands on that offense and wanted it to run his particular way. I also think, let's just be honest about the situation in the Big Ten, Penn State, yes, they have a rabid fan base. Yes, they have a history. Yes, they bring in the best talent, some of the best talent, but they don't bring in better talent than Michigan and Ohio State. They don't have the same amount of money as Michigan and Ohio State. I think at this point, these last 4 years since NIL has been a part of the game, I think that's another sticking point to explain why James Franklin has not been able to get over the hump in these big games.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But in the end of the day, being a fired Division I head football coach is a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
$49 million headed his way. And I'll ask you this. I'm curious your thoughts. He can get another job this offseason? It's going to be a crazy coaching carousel. There's going to be a lot of jobs open. You already have UCLA, Arkansas, Virginia Tech. Florida could come open here relatively soon.
If you're Arkansas, you're calling James Franklin.
If you're Arkansas, you're Florida.
Yeah.
Those are the two probably best jobs open right this second. Besides Penn State, of course, but that's not happening. You could do a lot worse than James Franklin. Even if you look at the big game jitters, I get it. I understand that would be something that you're worried about. But you could do a whole lot worse, and you've proven that.
Yeah. Hey, Arkansas's got to win games before they start thinking about winning big games.
Yes.
So, you know, start there. I think that James Franklin would be great at somewhere like Arkansas. That would be very good for James Franklin. I think it'd be good for Arkansas, too. It's, you know, this coup that's going on at Arkansas, I don't think is the right way that they need to
be
headed.
The Petrino stuff
it's exactly what we thought was going to happen the moment they hired Petrino. We all knew this was going to happen.
I feel like the fans are standing idly by and just like sort of just telling the athletic department, do whatever you think's going to win. But they've made decisions that haven't won. It did in the past, but it's a different day and age. It ain't the same. I don't think like offensively, as you saw against Tennessee, right? As you saw against Ole Miss this year, I don't think offensively Bobby Petrino has had the game pass him by. I still think he's a really good offensive coordinator. But at Arkansas, with what he did, I don't know, the past 15 years to sort of run your program through the mud and what has followed since then, not any success. I just would have a hard time as an Arkansas fan getting over that, knowing what I've seen for the past 15 years since he completely embarrassed my program. But it feels like Arkansas fans are just sitting by and saying, okay. Because they still... They have the ending of bad memories with Bobby Petrino, but I think some of them still remember what it was like in the middle of his tenure at Arkansas. Some success, top 25 teams, winning big games, you know, winning big bowl games. Like, I still feel like some of them still have that in their head, but I would tell them you just have to have more self-respect. You have to have some respect for yourself in this situation, bring Bobby Petrino back. Now, next for Penn State.
That's where I was going to ask next.
I saw a short list. I have an answer that just seems so painfully obvious. And I guess if this first name I bring up, if they called him first and he said, yes, I'll come on down, I'm sure you hire him over the guy that I think is ultimately going to get hired. But Kurt Cignetti
from Indiana. Yeah.
If you can bring in Kurt Cignetti, you bring him in. The fact that he's – we'll talk about him in a bit. The fact that he's created a powerhouse at Indiana University in football, a program who won for 30 years prior to him showing up an average of 4.1 times a year. They averaged 4 wins a year before Kurt Cignetti got there. And then they make the college football playoff last year, and they're fast-tracked in the college football playoff this year. They're a top 3 team. They're 3rd in the country. So if he says yes, he's without question, like, that's the hire you make. Some other names that have come up, Matt Campbell at Iowa State, think you could do a lot worse. Clark Lee at Vandy. Okay, you want to bring in another Vandy coach after James Franklin? Okay, be careful with that one. Also, Clark Lee, I just don't know. I'm not necessarily comfortable with him in that big of a job, that big of a spot. Vandy, largely the pressure's off of you. You don't have to deal with expectations. So if you win 6 games and get to a bowl game, it's like you won the college football playoff national championship. So what would happen if Clark Lee was in that type of situation, that pressure-packed environment? I'm not very comfortable with that with him. Eli Drinkwitz is a name that came up at Mizzou. I think he'll come up a lot with some of these bigger jobs because of the job he's done at Mizzou. And then Manny Diaz at Duke. I've seen him in a big job at Miami. Didn't look that great. I think that name should be off. But I think the obvious hire here, and probably the first or second name they reach out to, is that guy at Nebraska who's sitting there at 5-1, Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule and Penn State Athletic Director Pat Kraft have a wonderful relationship, working relationship. They work together at Temple. And you remember how good Matt Rhule's Temple teams were and how good that program was when Matt Rhule was there. And then ultimately he left, and it hasn't been quite the same. They're getting back to their speed right now, slowly but surely. But they had a lot of success together. Also, Matt Rhule went to high school in State College, and he walked on as a linebacker to Penn State on the football team. To add to that, you know what his first job was as a football coach after his college days? He was a volunteer coach at Penn State. Now, with him, you do take into consideration, okay, he hasn't quite gotten Nebraska to the point where they're winning these massive games and, you know, back to Nebraska being back, even though that was why he was hired. But he got them back to a bowl game. He got them back to recruiting at a decently high level. You don't bring in Dylan Raiola if you don't have the money and the ability to talk to people behind the scenes. It just seems like the Matt Rhule, Penn State match is too much to ignore in this particular situation. I don't know when the hire will be made, probably after the season. He may not get, if Nebraska's in a bowl game, likely will be. I think he'd leave before said bowl game, but that seems like the hire that's most realistic, most on the table, and most obvious for Penn State at this moment.
Did you see his press conference from earlier?
Yeah, he didn't full on say.
I had the quote. If you want me to read it real quick?
Go ahead and read it.
This is what Matt Rhule had to say on the Penn State opening. I'm not going to talk a lot about job openings when they come. I'm not going to talk about my contract here. I absolutely love it here. I want to continue to take the steps needed to turn this place into a beast.
Not a denial. Not saying I'm not going to take that job. But we've learned also with college coaches, don't even listen to them when they say they won't take a job. Because it's happened plenty of times where they say, I'm going to die and name school A's colors. And then they, that offseason, up and leave, go find some other college's colors to wear.
Can I ask a legitimate question? Sure. Is Matt Rhule a better coach than James Franklin? Is that an upgrade? Or is that, because to me that feels like,
I think very similar, like if you're talking previous, what we knew about James Franklin when he took that job, when he was at Vandy, right? and what we know about Matt Rhule now, I think it's a very similar resume. Right? Matt Rhule made Temple a consummate winner, won the conference, did it constantly, just a perennial ranked team at Temple. Goes to Nebraska, does something that the previous two coaches before him could not do, get to a bowl game, have a winning season. So I think they, if you just rewind and don't have hindsight, because we saw James Franklin have a lot of success at Penn State in that pressure-packed environment, even though he didn't win the big games. I think they have a very similar resume, you know, before getting the Penn State
especially
job.
In big games. It just feels like it may be more of the same for Penn State if they hire Matt Rhule.
But who else?
I don't
be
know.
Out there, like who? I mean, Kurt Cignetti would be the guy, the perfect guy.
Brian Callahan.
That's disgusting. That's absolutely disgusting. But needless to say, with this firing, especially knowing Florida could come open, this coaching carousel is gonna be insane. It's gonna be all over the place. Because if Matt Rhule leaves for Penn State, that leaves another massive job on the table in Nebraska. And who would then take that? And then they're probably going to go get a sitting head coach from somewhere to go take over Nebraska. What job opens up because of Nebraska if Matt Rhule leaves and you know, another coach leaves for Nebraska? So it's going to be one to watch. It's going to be a really fun one to watch. But James Franklin, done. Officially done after 12 seasons at Penn State. All right, let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. When we come back, we'll break down the rest of Week 7 in college football right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Because of that win, South Florida moves up to number 19 in the AP poll. It's going to make that game here next weekend, after this weekend coming up, mean a whole lot more. Now that game, we'll talk about it. It's going to kick off early. The whole college game day thing seems like it's gone, but I guess not all hope is lost if you want to still be the most positive of Memphis and college game day fans. But South Florida accounted for 580 yards of total offense. Of those 580 yards, 306 on the ground. Byron Brown, 82 yards, 2 touchdowns. They had a running back and Chase Garnett, who averaged 12.3 yards per carry. They did a good job after their first two fumbles in that first quarter of being the team that ended up on the plus side of the turnover battle. They turned North Texas over five times, including 3 picks from Drew Mestemaker. So, in the end of the day, you feel good that the game in a couple weekends is going to be big for the University of Memphis and the city of Memphis at large. But seeing the full dismantling that USF had against a pretty decent North Texas team makes you think twice about what that game's ultimately going to look like when it's played at 11 a.m. on October 25th. That is a very, very good football team that Memphis is going to have to face in a couple weekends.
Yeah, on one hand, you know, I was happy that South Florida won because it kept the game day hopes alive, at least for the moment. I think that the announcement today, though, put those hopes to rest for the most part. But South Florida is not going to be an easy game for Memphis by any means. Now, you're going to talk about it later, but you brought it up to me off air. 11 a.m. games at the Liberty Bowl.
Treat the Tigers well.
Usually go pretty well for the Memphis Tigers. So that's not the worst thing in the world. It's just, you know, the Tigers defense, I think, has been improved this season. They're stingy when they need to be. They're opportunistic with the turnovers. But, man, do they give up a lot of yards. And South Florida is going to have a ton of offensive production in that game. So the defense is going to have to step up big time. I think that Memphis's offense, I'm not too worried about for the most part. It's really, can you keep Brown at bay? Can you keep that offense at bay?
Can you get some turnovers? Continue to get turnovers?
It's not dissimilar from the Arkansas game.
Now, here is a bit of positivity I can bring to you about the defense against the South Florida team. South Florida, yes, Byron Brown can throw the ball. Okay, he's thrown for over 200 in every single game of this year. He's thrown for more touchdowns than interceptions in every single game so far this year. But he has yet to reach the 300-yard mark. A lot of the plays he makes downfield are off schedule and off platform. We know the secondary is the biggest, weakest link for this Tigers defense. But one thing they do really well, and this will be their biggest test, outside of that Arkansas game, of course, number 11 in the country in rushing defense and opponent rush yards allowed per game. And South Florida is going to try to run the ball pretty consistently. If they can stop the run, make that offense one-dimensional, make Byron Brown beat you from the pocket, it could be a very uncomfortable day for South Florida offensively. And that's something that does give me a little bit of hope. What Memphis does well defensively does match up pretty well against what South Florida does well offensively.
How's the trenches?
They're good.
I mean, we've seen them beat an SEC team. I will say
both these teams are matched up really well in the trenches. I think they've both been really good offensive line, defensive line, both teams. Big. They seem to have a feel for what's being asked of them. Pretty well coached. So I think that's going to be a really good matchup. I don't think either team has some massive advantage against the other in the trenches.
Does the winner of this game, does it put the winner in the driver's seat for the college football playoff?
Oh, God, yes. Right? 110%. Because I also look around the rest of the group of five. And who else really is that? Old Dominion, I guess you could put in that conversation. I don't buy that they're going to continue to roll the way they are. And also, the level of competition, I think, matters. The American is by far, in a way, the best group of five conference with the best talent this season. So I don't know if Old Dominion's going to hang around. And then you look at a Tulane. I mentioned it on Friday.
Kind of underwhelming this year so far.
Really underwhelming. And their coach even says as much. After that game against East Carolina that they barely pulled out a 26-19 win, he was doing his walk-off interview and said this team needs to grow up very, very fast if they want to do anything this year. By the time we get to the end of the season, win an American Conference championship, all of that. Navy, okay, Navy's Navy, but triple option and the looks that they get.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If offensively, They can get got in any given week of the season. It could be a game against Rice. You know what I mean? It could be against anybody, and Navy could get taken advantage of. Navy usually loses a game that we view as one they shouldn't because of the way that they operate. So I just view South Florida and Memphis as, I'm not going to say head and shoulders, but I think you have 1-2 space and then the rest of the group of five contenders in that conversation. Boise State, not buying into, even though they've looked okay since that loss against South Florida. So, yes, without question, I think the winner of this game in a couple weeks, as long as each handles business, Florida Atlantic hung 50 this past weekend, granted against UAB, but they can throw the ball around the yard, and they could sneak up and surprise South Florida. I don't think UAB is going to sneak up and surprise Memphis, but I'm going to knock on wood. They have an interim head coach, and they just don't look like they want to play anymore. It's been bad for them, and they just don't have the same amount of talent as Memphis does. So in all likelihood, you're looking at an undefeated Memphis versus 6-1 South Florida here in a couple of weekends for the en route to the college football playoff. Also this weekend, we'll hit the highlights. Red River rivalry. Texas handled business really easily.
Man, Mateer, yikes. Yikes.
I did, in the middle of that game, question if Mateer was more of an inhibitor than a helper from playing.
Three
picks, 20 for 38, 202. Granted, his O-line didn't hold up well, didn't run the ball well, but he just didn't look comfortable out there, and it makes sense. He was 17 days out of surgery for a thumb on his throwing hand. It's not usually a recipe for success. And also, I found it interesting, and Oklahoma tried to downplay this and say, you know, it's not something we didn't expect, but he was bleeding out of his stitching on his thumb. It just makes me feel like he shouldn't play. I did wonder throughout that game, and I know Michael Hawkins is not a great quarterback, but he can do some things. He's got some experience. I did wonder throughout that game if he would have played, would it have gone differently offensively for Oklahoma? Would they have played a little bit different?
I mean, at the very least, I don't think Texas would have gotten as many opportunities as they got. You know, he was giving the ball away to Texas. And one thing I really noticed about Mateer, and I think it's a failure on the coaching staff, when you have a quarterback coming back from that type of surgery, it's been 17 days, you have got to tell that guy to get down. Get down. Get out of bounds. Get rid of the ball. He kept trying to, you know, he was basically looked like Jackson Dart and Scataboo out there. Like, he was running head first into guys, trying to jump over play. Just
like I said, he would.
Dumbest way to come back from an injury. And I know he was feeling pain because his throws were bad. They weren't very, it was just, I think he was more of a hindrance for Oklahoma.
That's what I felt.
No doubt about it. When I was watching that game, I was like, man, they might need to take this guy out because he was playing recklessly. Yes. And he was doing it because he thought he was being some hero. And it's like, I don't know, man. Sometimes being the hero is stepping to the side and letting your backup go in when you know you're not ready.
The difference is 100% Michael Hawkins versus a 70 or less percent John Mateer. I was thinking Michael Hawkins may have gotten him a better shot on Saturday, but obviously Texas got there. And I think Texas throughout the SEC slate is going to have to win in that way because their offense still isn't very good. I thought that their offensive line was a whole lot better. They ran the ball a little bit better. Quinn Wisner had 94 yards. Granted, they only averaged like 4 yards per carry, but he had 22 carries, 94 yards. They got some nice little tough yards there. Arch Manning, I guess the best I could say for him is he didn't make any drastic mistakes that, you know, hurt Texas. 21 for 27, easy completions, 166, one touchdown, no interceptions. Against a really, really sturdy and good defense.
I thought Sark was good.
Yeah, I thought Sark did what he needed to do. He figured his defense could carry the day. He let his defense carry the day. So there's that, 23-6. Oklahoma, down the stretch of the season, I would say to John Mateer, probably shouldn't have gone in this game because, like I said last week, down the stretch, number 5, Ole Miss, number 11, Tennessee, number 6, Alabama, number 16, Missouri, number 10, LSU. I feel like he may have re-aggravated his thumb. The stitching came undone. I didn't think it was the right move, but we'll see these last five games of the year, last six games of the year, if Oklahoma can stay afloat, give himself a chance to get into the college football playoff. Now to the Hoosiers of Indiana. I just am amazed. I thought this game was honestly owned by Indiana the entire time. It was 30-20 was the final score, but I don't know if that's indicative of the way that Indiana played. I thought they played even better than that. But Fernando Mendoza, 20 for 31, 215, a touchdown, an interception. They ran the ball when they needed to. Elijah Surratt, oh my gosh, he was awesome in this game. 8 catches, 121 yards, 1 touchdown. I look at Elijah Surratt and Omar Cooper Jr., that may be, outside of Alabama, and we'll get to them in a second, that might be the best 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position in the country right now. Just the way they're playing and you know, the way they compete, the way they block, the way they do everything, they're very, very impressive. Oregon, on the other hand, I thought it was the worst performance for my guy Dante Moore the entire year. 2 picks, 1 interception, 186 yards. Granted, his offensive line did not help him, and in Indiana's defensive line just did a good job consistently getting home. Six sacks. By far the most that Dante Moore has been pressured all season. And on top of that, they didn't run the ball very well. But Indiana is on the fast track to the playoff. And the reason I say that is, have you seen the rest of their schedule, Connor? Have you seen it? They're through the tough ones. You thought Illinois would be tough, they won 63-10. You thought at Oregon would be tough, they won 30-20 in Autzen. Now they have Michigan State at home, UCLA at home, at Maryland, at Penn State with a backup quarterback, versus Wisconsin at home, at Purdue to end the year.
I love it. I'm going to be honest, I love it.
The amount of crap they got last year. Based on the rest of their schedule and the way they have played so far, they should be 12-0 heading to the Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
And you know that question I asked about Indiana a couple weeks ago after they beat Illinois? I asked, I think a topical question, is Indiana better than they were a year ago, even after they made the college football playoff? And I think I got my answer this weekend pretty, and I probably should have understood it after the Illinois game, the way they just ran all over them. They're better than they were a year ago.
Definitely.
And it's a testament to Kurt Cignetti and what he's building. To make Indiana football a powerhouse is, quite frankly, insane. It boggles the mind. Because prior to Kurt Cignetti getting there, previous 30 seasons, they averaged 4 wins a year. He is currently 16-2 at Indiana. And his only losses, at Ohio State, who won the Natty, and at Notre Dame, who played in the Natty. The guy is a miracle worker. And it's not like Indiana has the most money in the Big Ten. It's not like they're recruiting the five-star crazy talent out of the portal. They just pick their guys, evaluate better than anybody else, and that's a testament to Kurt Cignetti. Really good job. And he's arrogant, and I've talked about his arrogance, but I think he's arrogant for a reason because he backs it up pretty consistently.
Yeah, and again, I'm happy for Indiana. I love it. Last year, I was supportive of Indiana being in the college football playoff, even though so many people were trying to make the case that they shouldn't be in there because of their strength of schedule. And it's kind of great that they've turned around this season and just beaten the hell out of two very good teams, one of which Oregon, which, I mean, winning this game in the fashion that they did was one of the most shocking things I've seen all season. Did not expect it to happen.
Now, Fernando Mendoza, let's get to him as a quarterback. He is not a flashy guy. I don't necessarily watch him, and he doesn't necessarily jump off the page or jump off the screen. But I will say this. I saw his post-game presser or his walk-off interview. He's a sweetheart, man. Go ahead and play that for me. Shout out to Fernando Mendoza. You know what vibes he gave me? This is not an original thought. I saw this out there over the weekend after this the clip came out. Know what vibes he gives me? He gives me Kirk Cousins at Michigan State vibes.
Yeah.
Even in the way he plays. Not overly athletic, but can beat you from the pocket, plays clean football, and seems comfortable.
To me, that interview gave me he just started taking public speaking courses at Indiana. and he tried to take all of the lessons he's learned, and he was like, this is my moment, this is my time. Was that the first time anyone's asked him a question on a microphone?
I don't know.
Did he win the Oscars? That was so prepared, and he was doing the politician hand thing the entire time, too?
Yes.
Just Mendoza 2028, I guess.
Yes, but he's like, I wouldn't have done it without my fantastic offense next to me.
Yeah, and teammates. The hand motion, the wide receiver's like, all right, dude.
Elijah Surratt's like, oh my gosh, this nerd. But he definitely, like, Kirk.
But he can hoop.
That's Kirk Cousins to me.
Very much
that
so.
That feels like Kirk Cousins almost reincarnated. All right, now getting to another Big Ten game. UCLA wins their second straight 38-13 over Michigan State. I know that he's not the head coach, and I think people are confused by this because this is the only guy that's getting talked about at this moment. But Jerry Neuheisel's doing a heck of a job with that offense. And the defense is playing well as well, maybe not as much last week against Penn State. Penn State has more talent than what they saw against Michigan State this week, but they only gave up 13 points. But Jerry Neuheisel, as their main play caller, has been unbelievable to watch. And it makes me question, what the hell was Deshaun Foster doing this entire time? Because UCLA clearly has enough talent to win, I don't know, six games, be a bowl team, but they dug themselves a hole with 0-4, losing to UNLV and New Mexico along the way. And now they back up two straight wins against decent competition in the Big Ten in Michigan State and in Penn State. It just looks like a completely different team that's re-energized, that's fighting for the guys that are coaching them right now. But for those that don't know, Jerry Neuheisel, their offensive coordinator, is not the head coach. Tim Skipper is their interim head coach at this moment. And I wonder what's going to happen with both of those guys depending on what the way the rest of the season goes, because I think they're on a nice track. Nico Amaleava is playing a whole lot better. They seem like they have some juice at this point. They're giving out the right messages. I saw that Tim Skipper, again, the interim head coach, put like these pieces of paper, these cards on every seat in the plane that said, are you going to be a one-hit wonder? And they clearly were not a one-hit wonder. But it's cool to see UCLA rallying around an interim head coach and an offensive coordinator getting his first sort of full-time shot at calling plays.
It's one of the coolest stories going on in sports right now. Like the videos last week of his dad watching the game and celebrating during it was, how could you not be happy for UCLA?
He is his dad, by the way.
I know. Looks just like
him.
Well,
and they talk the same.
Yeah.
They act the same. They treat their players the same. Like, it's identical. They're literally identical. But it was cool to see Rick Neuheisel on the broadcast in that Penn State game, sort of cheering for his son, cheering alongside. Final game I want to bring up, Alabama over top of Mizzou. Kalen DeBoer, 14-2. In ranked matchups, that's the best record among coaches with at least 10 ranked versus ranked games. I know that Kalen DeBoer, there's been a lot said about the guy, especially after that first game losing to Florida State. Still doesn't look like that was a bad loss. Bad loss. Florida State's dropping out of the top 25. They just lost their third straight. So that's not great. But he also, here's another stat that blew me away. Kalen DeBoer has beat AP top 25 teams in three consecutive weeks. Nick Saban did that once in his 17 years at Alabama. Alabama still, I have my doubts and my questions about what that team is going to do the rest of this year. You still have Tennessee. You still have a test on the road against South Carolina. Still have to deal with LSU, still have to deal with Oklahoma, and we know the Iron Bowl is always tricky. And this year it's in Auburn. But I think it's pretty clear right now, maybe outside of Ole Miss, and Ole Miss struggled this weekend, struggle win against.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Washington State. I think they're the class of the SEC at this particular moment. With the way they're playing, with how hot they are, with the identity that they've created, they look like the most to-be-reckoned-with team in the SEC. Now, I want to see their defense hold up over the long haul. I want to see them continue the winning ways against ranked opponents. Obviously, Ty Simpson and the wide receivers feels like that's a given. Going to have to continue to run the ball. And I love the Caden Proctor. Give him a touch a game. It's really fun to watch. But I still don't feel like I have a great understanding of this Alabama team as they get further into their SEC slate.
Their defense has been excellent since the Florida State game. Just very, very good. The most points they've given up in a game is 24, and it was against a Missouri team that can put points on the board, but they got turnovers when they needed to. That last drive against Missouri, that where Missouri was trying to score, that defense was so good.
And I thought
so
that,
good.
I thought – even more so than just the way the defense is playing, I thought they had a really good plan. Kane Womack and that defensive staff, really good plan. They clearly said, going into the game, all right, what does this team do well? Ahmad Hardy has 730 yards.
Yep.
It's not that hard to pick out. So they say, okay, let's make sure we pack the box. Let's make them uncomfortable running the ball. Bill Prabula, yeah, he's thrown for 300 a couple times this year. But he likes to break the pocket, make plays off schedule, and use his legs. Let's try to keep him in the pocket and make him beat us from there. And what happens? He throws two picks, plays his worst game of the year, and Alabama's defense looked pretty good.
They sped him up. They sped him up big time in that game.
Yeah, so I just thought even more so than just the way the sum of their parts is playing, I thought they had a really good game plan. And that's a testament to that coaching staff who has been much maligned through these first two seasons. But clearly, when you look through the stats and what they've been able to accomplish, they're pretty damn good. They're pretty damn good. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break and talk about all this next. With Dave.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon.
Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.